Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 24th of July, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, yes, Steve is back. As you remember, last week he was on a low-speed police chase across 13 states.
He doesn't look like he fared too bad.
No, he didn't. Well, he was on a trike. Not a motor trike like yours, remember, but on an actual tricycle. They weren't so much chasing him as walking along next to him saying, please pull over, sir.
I didn't know wheelchairs came through with
But Steve is back, and we're delighted to hear that. And let's start with our poll of the week.
I was going to say, now the folks can actually see us.
That's exactly right, at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, and it's based on this news item. There's more evidence that digital books are upending the publishing industry. Internet retailer Amazon.com says it's now selling 80% more downloaded books than hardbacks. Amazon's download format is for its Kindle electronic reader as well as other devices. The Kindle format has now overtaken the hardcover format, said Jeff Bezos, Amazon's chief executive, in a statement. Astonishing when considering that we've been selling hardcover books for 15 years and Kindle books for 33 months. Paperback books, which far outsell hardbacks, were not included in the announcement. So this is only hardbacks, not all books. Also, Amazon did not close actual sales numbers, but it was clear that digital books were on the rise. A survey has shown that although revenue from retail sales of printed books has been stagnant for several years, electronic books were forecast to surge to $1.6 billion in sales in 2010, up from $1 billion last year. So that's a 60% increase. Amazon said that for its full quarter, full second quarter, 143 electronic books were purchased on the site for every 100 hardcover books sold. A drastic cut in the price of the Kindle portable reader was probably a major factor. Amazon said sales of the device tripled after the company lowered the price to $189 from $259 last month. We've reached a tipping point with the new price of Kindle, Bezos said. Amazon dropped the price mere hours after Barnes & Noble lowered the price of its rival ebook reader, Nook, to $199 and introduced a $150 version. Without more detailed information about Amazon's ebook business, analysts say it's difficult to gauge how the company's doing in that area. We don't know the economics of these ebooks, said Colin Gillis, an analyst with BGC Financial. In our opinion, they are losing money on a lot of bestsellers sold as ebooks. The site has about 630,000 ebooks for sale, plus numerous titles that are available as free downloads. About 80% of the priced ebooks go for $9.99 or less, according to the company, which is significantly lower than the approximately $25 average for hardbacks. So our question to you, poll of the week at soundbites.org, I prefer, and the choices are hardcover books, paperback books, electronic editions, print is dead. Would you rather read a book or on paper or electronically? That's the other one. Hold on a second. I've gotten far ahead of myself. So far, we have 43 votes. Hardcover books are actually preferable, apparently, to paperback books and electronic editions. They may be preferable, but I doubt you actually buy more of them. When you're done taking the poll, I know that you'll have more to say than that. So head on over to my website at AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you can leave your opinion. The question is, would you rather read a book on paper or electronically? So far, 11 people have left a response. We're thrilled and delighted to see that, of course. So please join us there. Check out what we all do there. And then come on back and join us at soundbites.org. But most importantly, stick around here for the next couple of hours. So our question to you, do you, in fact, read ebooks? Do you prefer analog or digital when you read? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
I like watching the movie.
Of course. Jesus. And I didn't make this was strictly about what you like to read. Somebody else complained you don't have audiobooks. I was talking about reading, not listening. Reading. And if you say, if you like audiobooks, then type in, then select print is dead.
Yeah, I still like to actually hold the book because quite often, you know, well, I spend too much time during the day working on a computer. So it's nice just to, once in a while, I grab a book, go out on the front porch, let the dogs tether them out, and I just sit, relax, no computers.
That's why I like audiobooks. You put your headphones on, you mow the lawn, you do the dishes, you know, you're driving somewhere. Well, car speaker, no headphones in that case.
But
you can listen to a lot more stuff that way. Especially a lot of the audiobooks at some of the commercial vendors, they're more than just a dry reading of the book. They actually do production, and really good readers can really add to the way the book books sound. In fact, Jerry Purnell was on This Week in Tech last week. It's so cool watching. It's Jerry Purnell.
Right.
And he was talking about a bunch of his books that are on Amazon and on Audible. And he says they're very good to their authors. He still gets reasonable royalty checks from them. And the people that read the books just do more. He said he's gotten emails from the readers asking how to pronounce alien names because they want to do it right.
Right.
And I always wonder, you know, as a science fiction author, when you come up with an alien language and an alien name, do you even pronounce it?
Right.
Or you
right.
just mash a few keys and there's the name.
and then you put it in a macro so you can repeat it over and over and over again throughout the book. I read everything, but I've realized I've owned pretty much every ebook reader there is. And I prefer an electronic reader for the paperbacks. The stuff that I'm going to read it, but yeah. Not necessarily. I'm not going to buy. If I really love a book, I buy the hardcover and put it on my shelf.
There you go.
But I don't have any more room for paperbacks. I've got tens of thousands of paperbacks in my, and that's not even an exaggeration.
No, I know. Yes, house. I have seen your house, so yes, I can attest to it.
10-foot ceilings,
mm-hmm.
and three rows
walla walla
deep,
books.
Two entire walls there.
Yep.
Plus, you haven't seen upstairs. There's not a surface. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bookshelves upstairs. They're all packed 3 deep. I've got a lot of books.
Yep.
And maybe it's tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands.
Hey,
but still, I'm
well read.
And a lot of them I read once and will probably never read again. But I'm not good at throwing things away. And so,
you're not a hoarder, are you?
Oh, that
TV program, that's wild.
I haven't watched it. But my thought is, if I were to buy, the books I'm interested in one time and not don't think I'll be buying again, reading again, I should buy them electronically. The problem right now is I'm waiting for. I thought about the iPad.
The high def version of it?
No. I thought about the iPad because you can get readers for that. Yeah, right. Exactly. But I'm waiting for the Android tablets to come out. There's a bunch of them in the queue, and I want to see what they're like. And if one of them is useful at a much lower price point, then I'll absolutely take a look at that and buy it instead. The other part of the problem is whatever you buy, you're kind of locked into. You know, if I go with a Kindle, I'm done. I've got a Kindle, and that's the only thing I'll ever have. And if I buy a Nook, then I'm done. I'm locked into the Nook. Now, I guess, do you prefer...
What's your poison?
Amazon? Right.
What's your poison?
Well, the nice thing about the Kindle is you can get the Kindle app for your iPhone, iPad, iOS device, and for your Android device.
Right.
So once you join that one service, those books are pretty transparent.
Right, and that's my point. So if I can get an Android device, and I'll check the Android devices, and if I can't, I'll get an iPad.
Yep.
But then I can get the Nook. I've got the Nook application here, and I've got the Kindle app here. But, of course, I'm not really fond of reading an entire book on that little screen.
Mm-hmm.
I admit
that. Amazon
it's
is running
it. Age and eyes.
Yeah, I get the truth.
Amazon's running.
Arms aren't long enough.
Amazon's running a commercial for their Kindle. Which is a direct shot against the iPad, sitting on the beach reading a book on the Kindle. Because the Kindle works best in bright sunlight.
Right.
Because it does not have a backlight on it.
Right.
The iPad works worst in bright sunlight.
Right, but on the other hand, in the iPad, you can turn down the brightness
right.
and read
it in bed.
It works
better in the dark, yeah.
And, you know, while my wife's asleep, I can be reading. So.
And it does everything. It does so much more than just reading books. Although the price wars are on, the Kindle dropped to, what was it, $189, or was that the Nook? The Nook Wi-Fi only dropped to $150.
Right.
And the Nook Wi-Fi 3G is just barely, you know, $200. The Kindle has dropped in price. There's rumors of a new Kindle DX coming out with a higher resolution screen.
2 inches.
Right. Right, but we don't want to know.
10.2.
We don't. What'd you get now?
I got a owl for my grandson, Ryan.
There you go.
Now the, 5 of 6 done.
There you go.
But it itches.
What about the great-grandchildren?
There'll be backgrounds on his computer.
Not back there. No, I got two more to do. I'm doing one more for my last granddaughter, and then the dream catcher in the middle. This back is done. Ain't putting any more tattoos on it. It's different feeling, you know, from when I first got my first one, you know, which was like 30 some odd years ago, or longer than that. Jesus, I don't want to admit it.
Yeah,
but they don't get easier.
Yeah, I bet they don't.
But no, one thing I gotta just jump in here and warn folks. One, got a good rant, so you're definitely gonna want to stay tuned for that.
There
we're
gonna
have that later. And again, I gotta thank Rob and the station. I don't know if you folks missed it last night. There was a great concert last night. Well, there's been a lot of stuff going around here in the city this whole weekend. Ton of stuff going on, but they had the Four Tops and Temptations in, which Jazz member supported Jazz 90.1 was a sponsor of, and it was literally a unbelievable concert. And one thing I was telling you, I didn't realize there's still two members. Each group still has one member left.
The two groups being
Temptations and the Four Tops, and each of them have one of the former members that are no longer around. Their sons are singing in the group.
So each has one original member and the son of an original member.
Yes.
Nice.
And, I mean, they still move pretty darn good.
So now is it the Four Temptations?
No.
Yeah. No, there's still two separate groups.
Yes, two separate groups. It was a great concert. I mean,
who came on first?
Temptations.
Really?
Yeah, that was kind of odd, too.
Well, they probably alternate. I've seen a lot of shows with two headliners. And they'll alternate every other show.
Yeah. Well, and there weren't a lot of folks there. I was surprised because, well, one, they changed the venue. It was supposed to be outside, and then the last minute they moved it inside just because of rain. There was a threat of rain, which kind of glad they did because it was quite warm out there last night. But they moved it inside the War Memorial. We got great seats, and it was a blast.
Yeah. Oh, before we go any farther, let me apologize to everybody for none of us being in Second Life last night. You were at a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Steve was just getting out of tricycle prison, and I
you
was,
had a life.
I was visiting a friend. I was visiting another friend in the hospital. So,
I still got Sam in the hospital. You know,
right?
I know she's not listening, but a lot of the clients out there that know Sam, she's doing better. A lot of folks have called and asked about her, but she's doing great and coming off her meds.
Good.
Because that's still hilarious.
Which is too bad.
Yeah, because I was having more fun with her, picking on her, because we had conversations, and she doesn't remember them. Remember?
Yeah.
It's like, those were darn good drugs.
Yeah, I was visiting the friend I visited last night. She's doing much better, but the first time I got there, her husband and I were talking, and she was just sitting there with this beatific little smile on her face, just sort of staring around, and I thought, I don't know where she is, but it's a better place.
Hey, she's enjoying the moment. Why not?
That's right. Hey, guess what? I bought a Roku box.
A what?
I've been hemming and hawing for a year. I've told you this, guys, this before. I'll buy anything my wife needs or my daughter needs or in fact wants. But
oh,
for me,
justification.
Right. Okay. For me, I won't do it.
Okay.
But I finally broke down about a Roku box. This is about ROKU.com. Roku.
Roku, though, is usually like three-dimensional. Shaded?
Yeah. Roku, okay. Or it's some sort of pottery thing. But
yeah.
Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. It's this particular box, $99, $99.99, right, $100,
yep.
10 bucks off on sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's an HD device. You plug it into your computer. No, excuse me. You plug it into your television, and you plug it into your network, and you get Netflix on it. So you get Netflix right to your television.
Ooh.
which for a lot of people who have HDMI out from their computers is not that big a deal. I don't. And you can pick up all kinds of other things as well.
Time for a new system.
Yeah, I know. You aren't kidding. But you know how long it took me to decide I'd spent $100 on myself?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So it'll be a while. But so I finally got that. It isn't here yet, but I'm looking forward to that. I'll be able to get Netflix. I'll be able to get Amazon, Blip TV, all kinds of things, Pandora Music, all kinds of stuff like that on it. And then if I want to spend $2 a month, I get the Kung Fu Movie Channel.
Ooh, that's your favorite.
That's my favorite. It is my not-so-secret vice. Old, bad, Oriental martial arts movies.
Lip-sync way out of whack.
Yes, absolutely. I love them. They're so unbelievably cheesy. I just love them. And
Godzilla coming out.
And $2 a month, that's less than I spend on the DVDs for them. Yeah. And you know, it's not like, you know, the one thing I don't like about Netflix is you get the DVDs in the mail, but you don't get the extras. So if you want if you want all the extras, you have to buy the DVD. There really aren't any extras in these cheesy Oriental arts action movies. See, the doctor in the IRC chat says I have every Shaw Brothers VHS tape. I don't have everyone, Doc, but I have a lot of them. But look, now for $2 a month, I get all of that stuff anytime I want it, just beam to my television set. I can't wait.
And the Roku player lets you watch that content on other devices, right? So on your computer in the bedroom?
Well, you can only plug it into one device.
Right. But then it goes on your network, doesn't it?
No, it goes to the device.
I'm thinking of the Sling Box.
You're thinking
so
the
Sling Box is the other way.
It's
so
the opposite
with
way.
With both of them together, then you've got everything.
Yeah. Right. All right. And then eventually there's some sort of implosion. You have to reverse the polarity. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Here's a tip to the wise for all you tech-savvy scenesters. One click will take you directly from the Jazz 90.1 website straight to the station's very popular Facebook and MySpace pages. Once there, you'll be privy to special announcements, exclusive contests, Jazz Insider info, everything to keep you hip to all the hip happenings at Jazz 90.1. So click on over to jazz901.org and help take Jazz even further.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Have you been wanting a Jazz 90.1 long or short sleeve t-shirt, half-zip fleece, or hooded sweatshirt? The dark navy color with white logo is good-looking and tasteful. And you can find them all at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org. Wearing Jazz 90.1 apparel makes it easy to let the world know that jazz is your music and Jazz 90.1 is your station for jazz. There's also a navy Jazz 90.1 baseball cap to complete the look. You know, you might find just exactly what you want when you check out the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
I want to finish
school
and then go to
college
to be able to
graduate
and have
the future
my parents couldn't have, because I know that
going to college
is the best thing I can do for my
future.
The words of a parent help to build the future of a child. The Hispanic Scholarship Fund has the information to help your kids go to college. Visit yourwordstoday.org or call 1-877-HSF-8711. Sponsored by the Hispanic Scholarship Fund and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the annual Park Avenue Summer Arts Festival. The festival takes place this year on August 7th and 8th with over 300 artists, food, live entertainment, and kid-friendly activities. As a reminder, no pets, bikes, or drinking are allowed at the festival. There's plenty of parking behind Gleason Works on University and Monroe Square on Monroe Avenue with shuttles to and from the festival. For more information on this year's Park Ave Festival, you may visit www.rochesterevents.com. Jazz 90.1 will again be at the Park Ave Festival all weekend on the corner of Park Avenue and Meg Street.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Okay, I'm about to pork off all the Apple people.
Woohoo!
You got it. Secunia, a security service provider well known for tracking software defects, has ranked Apple as having the most reported vulnerabilities for its platforms during the first half of 2010. The majority of the flaws reside in OS X applications. This is not actually surprising. As operating systems have become more hardened, exploiting vulnerabilities has required increasingly sophisticated attacks. And users are updating their systems using antivirus programs, at least Windows users do, and have deployed firewalls, at least Windows users do. Hackers have to look for holes in applications. Secunia reports that vulnerabilities were found in Apple applications such as iTunes, QuickTime, and Safari, and in the apps of third parties, including Adobe and Oracle, which has never been a surprise to me. Safari, for example, has a vulnerability that could allow someone to delete your address book. Actually, we've got more on that later. The bad news is that malicious hackers are no longer lone geeks out to cause mayhem or maybe profit. They are part of criminal organizations that are organized like corporations and follow regular software release cycles. They are working for monetary gain, and it's big money. Your credit cards and your data are valuable. Last year, security people called on Apple to help its partners with more secure applications, to write more secure applications through providing its best practices and tools. They didn't. Microsoft has already done so by sharing its security development lifecycle with developers and distributing the security tools that it uses internally free of cost. This trend is clearly not just an Apple problem, but it's a problem that Apple needs to be more aggressive about addressing. This is especially true as its platforms grow in popularity. It's time for Apple to step up to the plate on security, and it's time for Apple users to stop pretending they're invulnerable. Our question to you, are you one of those Apple users who can't accept their own vulnerability? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0465, just like Thomas did. Where are you calling from, Thomas?
From Newark.
Newark, New York.
Yeah, I was a fellow that called you a while back, but I couldn't get any wireless to my notebook.
Okay.
I was going to tell you what it was with my security camera. When I had my security cameras on.
Oh.
That's interesting.
And HP and Verizon spent 40 hours with me and never could find it.
Why would a security camera interfere? Does it? Does
the signal. Maybe they're on the same frequency.
The security camera.
It's on 2.4.
Oh, they're wireless security cameras.
Yeah.
And when somebody would pass in front of the house, that's why I kept losing it, and sometimes I would have it.
Now, isn't that a kick in the butt?
Yeah, well, I thought you guys might be interested.
Yeah, no,
that's amazing. Thank you very much, Thomas.
You gave me a lot of clues, but nothing worked.
Well, and that's something that you probably would never find out without going to your house and looking.
Right. Well, the only way I found out is by buying another notebook and running around the house.
Yeah.
Well, write that down, guys. We wound up
fishing up another good
answer that we made out of our...
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, Thomas, thank you so much. I love to hear the resolution.
Can I have
things
another
like
question?
No. We gave you one good answer. That's all you get to
use. We're on a roll. We're quit where we're at.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, my old XP, the hard drive quit in it, and mm-hmm. I put a... It's a Dell, and I put a new hard drive in it.
Okay.
And when I go to install Windows XP, it stops on setup when you push enter. Nothing else happens.
So... This is a brand new hard drive, never been formatted. You put your Dell CD in there to...
I put a Windows XP.
You don't have the Dell one?
I didn't use the Dell one because it didn't work when I tried it. So I borrowed a guy's 7. I'm just going to use it in the house.
Wait a minute. Windows 7?
I know. Windows XP.
Okay.
Windows XP.
Now, does it get to any point where it starts to actually install the files or format the hard drive?
It goes through a few things, and then it comes up and it says, to set up your Windows, mm-hmm. press Enter or R. And I press Enter, and nothing ever happens after that.
Yeah, see, that was a brand new hard drive?
Brand new hard drive.
It sounds like
they
it
shows the hard drive in the BIOS.
Right. Yeah, but it sounds like that didn't.
Ready.
Right, but it sounds like that didn't get formatted correctly.
It's not formatted. You're supposed to format it after the Windows starts.
Yeah, it, usually it'll come up and ask you to.
I never get to where it asks you the.
Is this Windows 7 disk? Is it an installed
disk? No, it's Windows XP.
Is it an installed disk, an upgrade disk, a service pack disk?
No, it's a regular Windows XP disk.
See, he should be able to do it with the original Dell one. And that's
and
the
I
one that he
the
wants
Dell
to go
one
with.
Too, and it doesn't work. It does the same thing.
Is it a SATA hard drive or a PETA hard drive?
It's a SATA.
He might need the drivers for the SATA. Because yeah. Windows can't find the SATA
right.
drive.
What service pack is the XP disk, if any?
Yeah, service pack.
It's only service pack 1, but I have the service pack.
That's why.
That's, yeah. Service pack 1 cannot do SATA.
Nor can 2. 2 doesn't do it very well
either.
You
need service pack
but
3.
So you can't
install the OS until you get
pack in unless I can start
right.
It
so
up.
You need a Service Pack 3 install CD.
Or you've got
one.
Yeah, but what you're going to need
no,
though.
You need a Windows XP Service Pack 3 install CD.
Already installed.
So it's Windows XP Service Pack 3. That's what comes on the disk, the whole thing altogether.
Yeah, because that will have the SATA drivers. Otherwise, if you're stuck with Service Pack 1, what you've got to do is then go find the SATA drivers for that machine so it knows that there's a SATA drive in there to set it up on Windows.
And there's a point during the Windows setup where
it'll
it says hit F6 to load alternate drivers.
It says, it does when it first comes up.
Yeah, so that's what you have to do.
Put Service Pack 2 in there?
No, you've got to, in this case, you're going to have to go to somebody else's house, or if you've got another machine in the house, you're going to have to go to the internet and go to the Dell website, and they should have the SATA drivers. In other words, you're going to have to download the SATA drivers and put them on a floppy.
Now, they aren't in the disk that I came with the computer. I have the restored disk.
You can try that, yeah.
But if you don't have a Windows XP Service Pack 3 install disk,
I do
it's
have
pretty,
that.
No, you
not,
just said it was a Service
separate.
Pack 1.
It's just the Pack 3 separate.
No, and that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a full Windows XP install disk that already has Service Pack 3 built into the Windows XP install.
Okay, so I know what's the matter then.
Right, and until you have that, you won't be able to format a SATA
can you
drive.
Install that before you install Windows 7?
Wait a minute, where did Windows 7 come from?
Because it hasn't got.
Are you going to install Windows 7?
No, I mean XP. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. No, you cannot install XP unless it is a full. You got to listen to me carefully now. You cannot install XP at all unless it is a full Windows XP install disk that already has Service Pack 3 baked into the CD.
Not a Service Pack 3 upgrade disk.
Okay, so I don't have that. All right.
Right, and until and unless you have that, you cannot install Windows on that machine.
Exactly.
Nothing else will work.
I don't think it's got enough memory for put 7 in it.
Well, you're going to.
It's got 1 gigabyte of memory.
No, you don't have enough memory. You're going to either have to upgrade the memory and buy Windows 7 upgrade.
It's got to know the processor, too, whether it's going to handle Windows 7.
Right. But here's the deal. You're either going to have to do some major upgrades to that machine and install Windows 7. Or you're going to have to go out and buy Windows XP Service Pack 3 install disk.
If you can still find it.
If you can still find it. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to have to take out the SATA disk, put back a PETA disk, and then install your old Windows.
Well, the old disk was an ATA disk.
Right. But those are your only choices. There's nothing else that I can think of that you can possibly do there. You're
but
either going
now it also want installed over the old disk that was in there.
Well, you said that didn't work anymore.
Well, it runs, but it won't go any farther than that either.
Okay, then.
Then there may be something more wrong with the computer than just the hard drive.
Yeah, I would think maybe the motherboard or something.
Well, yes, if Okay, I'm sorry. I could have sworn you said at the beginning that the hard drive died, and that's why you replaced it.
I thought it died, but I don't think it did.
Okay, then it's probably the motherboard, and you're going to have to go a lot farther than that.
Yeah.
Your best bet is to take it to somebody and have them test it.
Yeah, I just wanted to use it for, you know, putting pictures and stuff in. I wasn't going on the web with it anymore.
Right. Well, if that's all you want, then your best bet is to buy an external enclosure that lets you put the new SATA hard drive in it, right, and just put it on the network, not in a computer, but on the network. Then you can attach to it over the network, if you've got a little little router, and connect to it that way, and then put all your stuff on that.
Okay, I could do that.
Yeah, I've done that. I bought a 360 gig drive, which is at the time was gigantic, and now is pathetic, and 350 gig, and it sits on the network, and we put all our pictures and music and all that stuff on it as a secondary backup. So if one of
I had an external hard drive through it with pictures in it, but it won't start back up in that computer.
All right.
That sounds like there's more wrong.
There's way more wrong with that.
Yeah, I'd suggest taking it in and have somebody look at it.
Maybe Okey-doke. It's not worth mucking with anymore.
Yeah, I think not. Thanks a lot, Thomas. There's clearly more wrong. You know, the problem is troubleshooting is difficult to begin with.
I mean, we're trying to visualize, and people don't always convey totally what they're seeing on the screen.
Right.
You know, I'm sure Steve runs into it, too. You're sitting there trying to ask them questions, and they go, no, it's not that. And I've made it, had to a couple times go over to the actual client and say, yeah, that's just what I was saying. Oh, I didn't know you meant that.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, this guy was listening. He just wasn't understanding what we were saying. So it's not that at all.
No.
Sometimes you get the people, is it plugged in? Yeah. At both ends? Oh, it has to be at both ends?
Yeah. Yeah. But the reality is that too many things can go wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
And,
I'm not picking
troubleshooting
on Thomas's
is not, right.
All,
no.
It all,
and troubleshooting is something that a lot of people really don't know how to do.
And we try our best,
Thomas did a good job. The hard drive is dead, so we replaced the hard drive.
Wound up solving the other issue.
Right.
That
he solved
40
the other issue
hours?
Very well. Very, very well.
Whoa.
But in this particular case, you need to look farther down the line, Thomas, and I think it's either the controller.
Yep.
Which is built into the motherboard, or something else on the motherboard itself. And so,
well, like I say, I still think it's, he's got to have that SATA drive. And that's the other issue with some of the, when folks bring them in, we're trying to get it back in, they got a SATA drive in it. And you ask them, well, where's the SATA drive disk to reinstall? And they don't have it. Or they don't have a floppy drive in them anymore.
Right.
An old floppy dangling around just in case, but I've seen some of the new motherboards don't have a connector for a floppy.
I've
got a USB floppy drive for that.
I still have a 5 1/4 hanging around, and what I got was that one USB device that you can hook up literally any IDE, SATA, or 2.5-inch drive to. It's got a universal connector.
Yeah, I bought one of those for my minions at work.
It is the nuts.
Yeah, it really is.
Because have to take the machine down. I can just pull, our workbench machine. I can just literally grab this other drive, hook it up, plug it in, hot load it with the USB, and bam, there it is. It's up. It's running. It's going. It's happy. And I can quick, do what I have to do on the drive.
Yeah. There really is an art to troubleshooting. And part of the problem is having the right tools.
And the patience.
Well,
that's...
And the experience. I mean, you and I and Steve can all look at something and say, oh,
that's a lot
it's
of time
this.
There.
That's more time than...
We got 100 years between us, about.
That's right. Four of those years are yours, you puppy. So
we're giving them that many?
Yeah, right.
Oh, damn.
But... Yeah, the reality is that we've seen so much of this before that we can pick it up easily. It doesn't mean we're better than you. It just means we're older than you and more experienced. But the reality is that I don't even do a lot of that stuff anymore because I don't have the tools. I don't have a shop like you guys do. You can look at something and say, oh, I'll bet it's this. Plug in the right tool. Mm-hmm. Get your answer.
Well, that's the other issue. I could save it for another rant, but I won't. A lot of folks right now, they get very impatient. And let me explain this, folks. You hear me on the radio today. This is most of my Saturday. Because I get up in the morning, get ready for the show, do stuff and that, and I come here and I spend 2 hours by time. That's pretty much my day. And then Sunday is my, oh, one day for me.
Yeah.
I work Monday through Friday. So when you bring your computer in on Thursday and then call on Monday and say, well, it's been there 4 days. No, Saturday and Sunday do not count. Like you, I like having time off. Right. I like a life.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, but do you actually get a, I mean, for example, this morning. I dropped my daughter off at the market. Two separate people asked me computer questions. I picked my daughter up at the market. I went to buy donuts, and somebody asked me a computer question. I went to buy green tea. Somebody asked me a computer question.
Although you did get Buzzo the other day.
Somebody thought I was Buzzo the other day. Somebody thought I was Buzzo. The reality is, if I were a foot taller and was wearing a bathrobe and fuzzy slippers, maybe I'd be Buzzo. But none of those things is true. My wife, God love her, had a t-shirt made for me one year for my birthday that said, I am not Buzzo.
He must love it. You should send him a shirt that says, I'm not Nick.
Yeah, right.
And then he'd sit there and scratch his head. Huh?
It's a little worse in our shop because our retail store is open Saturdays. So people bring their computers in and drop them off for service. And then they'll call out Monday. Well, I brought it in Saturday. Okay, it's been here 0 days.
Right.
And they get upset. And, you know, they're calling right now.
It doesn't matter. You can have a giant sign that says service is only performed Monday through Friday. People don't read don't think it applies to them.
And then here's the other thing. You know, we got so many computers in. And we tell folks it's first come, first serve.
Right.
You're in the queue. And, you know, how long is it going to take? I keep telling them, sorry, my crystal ball is down this week. And when we get it repaired, I'll give you a good guesstimate. Because I don't know.
Right. Yep.
One of my favorites was a customer dropped a computer off at 5 p.m. one night, called at 10 a.m. the next morning, first minute we opened, and says, is it done yet? So, no, you just brought it in at 5 last night. Well, yeah, you're open till 6, aren't you?
Yeah, right.
Done it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1, have it picked up, and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1. America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chi-Lai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's 4 locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Every day, you can help good things happen. Claudia, a local health worker in Nicaragua, helps save 6 children from pneumonia. Rosina in Bangladesh helps save 10 children from diarrhea. Aster in Ethiopia helps save 20 from malaria. And Salif in Mali helps save 30 from the effects of malnutrition. Help one, save many. Visit goodgoes.org to find all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
This is station manager Rob Linton. Do you have a comment or suggestion for Jazz 90.1? Call our feedback phone today at 966-2407. That's 966-2407. Be heard at Jazz 90.1.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we have Joe on the line. Joe, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rochester.
And what can we do for you?
The guy that called earlier about trying to get his Santa drivers, if he goes into the BIOS, I'm not sure if the Dells will have that, but you can change it from a SATA to a IDE configuration, then he should be able to boot and then load Windows. Once he gets into Windows, then he can install the SATA drivers, and then he should be good.
Yeah, but he can't do that if he's got a SATA hard drive.
Yeah, he can do it if he goes into the BIOS and changes it from SATA to IDE.
But if he doesn't have an IDE hard drive, what is he going to load it to?
Yeah, they're electrically different drives. You cannot flip a switch and make a SATA drive into a PETA drive.
Oh, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. I've done it. Especially on Asus motherboards. You go in and change it from SATA mode to IDE mode. It'll load it as an IDE drive, but it won't be in SATA high-performance mode.
I suppose there could be custom code in the BIOS to read the SATA disk and tell the computer it's a PETA disk.
That's right, exactly. That's exactly what it does. And then, but he won't be running it with the SATA performance. He'll have to install the SATA drivers once he's in.
Well, Thomas, it's something to try. It certainly can't hurt.
Yeah, yep. It's worth a shot.
I've done it a million times. The other thing is, in Thunderbird, do you know of any way to turn off that confirmation window when you get new email? That confirmation window drops down in the top right. Do you know any way to get rid of that?
Preferences?
There's a note. You should be able to turn off notices.
Notices?
Or notifications or something like that. I'm launching Thunderbird to see.
Yeah,
it's probably somewhere
in the configuration editor, and I thought I saw something about pop-up something, but I changed it from false to true.
Yeah, under edit.
Whatever.
Edit.
Pardon me?
Hello. Under edit.
Okay.
I don't know if this is the new version of Thunderbird.
Yeah, I'm in Thunderbird 3.
Edit preferences.
Okay.
Advanced.
Okay.
Select the General tab.
Okay.
Click the Configuration Editor button.
Okay, yeah, so far I've done this.
Search for BIFF, B-I-F-F.
Oh, okay.
And
this might void your warranty. I'll be careful, I promise.
Yeah,
and I got Swampland for you too.
And then you'll find mail.biff.show_alert.
Mail.biff, okay.
.show_alert.
Okay.
Set that to false.
Okay, great.
So what's a BIFF and why is it hiding under it?
BIFF is actually a Windows
He
a
lived
Linux
down the
program.
Block two blocks from me.
Yeah, right.
I went to the same school.
I know what a BIFF is.
Alert.
From the right. The air show last week.
BIFF was, of course, Willie Loman's son.
Right.
But if you're talking about the mail program, it's a small program. It's a Linux. It's a Unix program. And it's a small program that prints a message to your terminal when new email arrives.
Okay.
And it's been there for 1,000 years, and almost nobody uses it anymore. It's mostly of historic interest, except that for those who are old programmers, like, well, me, we know that if you say BIFF, you mean the mail notification part of a program. So, you know, if they call it the BIFF, you know what they're talking about.
Okay. This is that little window that drops down after you receive emails, right? That's the one you're talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, too.
Right. Okay, great. It's very annoying.
I do understand that.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay, bye.
It stood for something like basic input something flag, I think. I don't remember. I really don't remember.
I'm drastically looking. Yeah, the BIFF is the big, ugly, flying fellow.
Flying fellow.
Nickname of the B-52.
Right, but we want BIFF. Yeah. All right, our next caller is Bodan. Bodan, you're in Rochester, right?
That is correct, gentlemen. Good afternoon to you.
And the same to you. What can we do to make you a happier man?
Gentlemen, I have recently received an email which had an attachment, probably like a document form called XLSX
yeah,
file
yep.
attachment.
Yeah.
The only program that I have on my machine is a Dell HP, a Dell running Home XP Service Pack 3. The only thing I bought was
Excel,
Microsoft Word 2002 edition.
That's Excel 2007 or later.
Yep.
So is there any program that I can
get? Yes, OpenOffice.org.
Yep.
I'm sorry, what?
OpenOffice.org.
OpenOffice.org.
And you can download the entire OpenOffice suite.
Uh-huh.
It's comparable to Microsoft Office. It's got a word processor, a spreadsheet, a database, a presentation program to make slides, and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's absolutely free, and the latest version will both read and write .xlsx files.
The only other way around that is if you know the person that created it. In that version of 2007, they could save it as, and you can save it as an original Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
The other thing you can...
But more importantly, you're going to continue to get these because more and more people are going to buy the newer versions of Office. Uh-huh. And unless you want to spend $800 on the Office suite to get the full package, you can get OpenOffice.org for free, which pretty much does everything the average person would want from an Office suite. And is free and reads.
No, it does one thing better that I still like, in that it will
suggest that is there any kind of a Surface Pack for Microsoft Word?
Yeah, but Microsoft.
I don't think
they'll
open it.
No, Word will open Word files. You need to have Excel to open an Excel file. But Microsoft does have a free download to let older versions of Office read the new OpenXML format.
But I don't have Office. I just have Word.
Right.
So my point. Yeah. If you download OpenOffice.org, you don't need Office. You have OpenOffice.
Gotcha.
And like I said, the other big benefit of OpenOffice, which Microsoft Office doesn't do, is it'll take a Word document and put it into a PDF format.
Right. Just simply save
Open
as PDF.
It does it. And it's done that for how many years now?
Yeah, it's done that forever. I think the latest version of Office 2010 does that. But
all righty. I will do that right now after I get off the phone with you gentlemen.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, here we are. Archandra on the IOC chat says, Biff was the name of a BSD hacker's dog who used to bark at the postal carrier. That makes sense to me.
Yep.
How long has we've known Bo Dan?
There are much better alternatives, such as XL Biff and G Buffy, according to the Debian page.
Right, which is what I got when I said man Biff, but... basically nobody really uses Biff anymore, but it's basically just a little program like this guy's dog. It barks when the mail comes. So that's what it did, and that's what it was for.
Yeah, I'm still surprised he called us gentlemen.
Well,
he knows us for so long.
Clearly he's trying to be polite because we're on the air and stuff. I get that. But I got a news item that I've been waiting to read. Reports of Droid X display problems may have triggered some alarm, having come on the heels of Apple's AntennaGate debacle. But there's little similarity between the two. In particular, Motorola and Verizon didn't drag their heels either in addressing or correcting the problem. Apple has taken sharp criticism for its slow, somewhat grudging response. Even as Apple suffers the continued pains of its iPhone 4 AntennaGate brouhaha, it appears that at least one competing device is now facing problems of its own. Motorola and Verizon on Tuesday acknowledged faulty screens on some Droid X handsets and offered affected consumers a free replacement device. We're aware of a very small number of Droid X units that have experienced a flickering or banding display, Motorola spokes individual Julie Berta said. The exposure of devices is limited to 0.1%. Okay, Soundboy fans, see if you can spot the difference between Apple's response and Motorola's response. Listen carefully. Motorola has already resolved the issue, Berta said, and it continues to ship product. Any consumer who experiences a flickering or banding display should contact Motorola's customer support center or Verizon Wireless for a replacement, she added. Those experiencing issues will have their phones replaced in a timely manner, Verizon Wireless spokes individual Mark Kat Smith said. Okay, Soundbites fans, did you spot it? If not, check the podcast. The Android-based Droid X just hit stores last week after considerable fanfare, particularly given the iPhone 4's ongoing problems. Many affected users apparently found the device worked fine at first, and then problems began to crop up, according to reports, in some cases rendering the display useless. At least one user posted a YouTube video demonstrating the problem. Whereas Apple has suffered sharp criticism for taking too long to respond to the iPhone 4's antenna issues, the quick response from Motorola and Verizon should come as a pleasant surprise. Of course, the alacrity of that response really isn't all that surprising, given that the device is not only still under warranty, but within the 30-day return period. It would make sense for Verizon to keep those customers as happy as possible. But when you contrast it with the response for the iPhone 4 problem, it looks like a really, really classy move on their part.
Cool.
So Here's the deal. I personally think the Motorola's actions at least look a lot better and classier than Apple's. How about you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
And talking about the phones, as you know, I finally went from...
Yes, you did. Oh, you actually got kicked, and dragging, and screaming into the late 20th century. Not quite up to the 21st yet.
Oh, guess what, though? I finally just, you know, got playing around because it was ticking me off. Discovered ringtones. Of course, I had the ring back, as you know, as you ever called my phone.
Right.
I always had the ring back. Well, I got that one finally back on to my phone, my current phone. But then I thought, it's got all these ringtones.
Yeah.
And they're kind of hokey. I went and got my own.
There you go. What I really like about the Droid is that I can just pick music from my list of music as my ringtone. I don't even have to turn it into a ringtone. I can just pick the music. So I can download, you know, a sound clip or whatever I want and just set it.
Which is interesting because on the Apple iPhone, the record industry makes you pay extra for a ringtone based on a...
Of course they do.
...a song.
Of course they do.
But, yeah, I'm having so much fun with that because, you know, I think I got about six of them.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Like,
well, I should tell you what I've been doing with the Google Voice, but let's get to Josh first. Our next caller is Josh. Where are you calling from, Josh?
West Irondequoit. How are you guys doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Hey, I don't have a computer problem per se, but I am trying to find a program that will solve a productivity problem for me. I hope you guys might be able to help.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, I do a lot of video production, and I do countless interviews every week. And for me to do my job right, I really need to translate those interviews into text so I can build a script. Well, that's cumbersome, and it takes forever to type that stuff. I either pay somebody to do it or I do it myself.
We have been looking for some sort of automated audio transcription software
forever.
The best that has come out so far is Dragon Dictate, which is a speech.
Is anybody having success with this?
It works great as a speech dictation, and there's also a plug-in module that lets you feed it an audio file, so you don't have to dictate live. You can feed it your recording.
It as an audio file, say from the internal hard drive on my computer.
Right.
Or do I need like an external recorder and then align it?
Well, you need an audio file. However, you get that audio file doesn't matter.
But the audio file should be on your hard disk.
Yeah,
you feed that to the program.
Right. Then you go back and edit all the mistakes, which is sometimes faster than retyping.
I've been trying to figure out a way to do
this
with Google Voice.
Yeah, because a lot of Google Voice and a lot of the telephone services will do transcription. But you look at the transcriptions it gives you, and oftentimes you're better off retyping it.
Yeah, some of them are spot on. Some of them, particularly when people talk like this, are terrible.
There was a service that Soundbites was using for a while, years ago. There was a free test demo for a while, and then it sort of fell apart, where they were doing automatic translation of your audio files. And it was pretty good, and they were building it as searchable. So you could search an audio file based on the text of it, but it sort of went away.
Yeah, but theoretically, at least Dragon Dictate will do what you want to do. Dragon Dictate is not cheap. Nuance.
Yeah, well, I found it, and I've been hesitant to spend $200 to get the full version to find out it doesn't work.
Well, you can. I believe you can get a demo.
Check the return policy.
Quite often you can get a demo. It'll be crippled in that you might not be able to save files,
or it only does a minute instead of hours.
Yeah, you know, and you can at least test it. Check that out.
Right.
Yeah,
the real problem with all of these is you've got to have a clean recording without a lot of background noise, a lot of hiss, et cetera, et cetera. And even so, if the person is mumble-mouthed or has a fairly thick accent, Dragon Dictate is going to have a real problem.
Or if you develop a cold or that. I mean, you know, all of a sudden.
Google Voice is better because they trained it with Google 411. For years, you used to be able to type Goog 411 on your phone, and you know the system would come up and say what city and blah 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 blah, and ask you, and you know, and you'd get all the information. And it took all of those data and trained its voice module, its voice recognition module. So it really doesn't recognize any one individual; it recognizes general everybody's.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it really is kind of cool, and that's why it works even as well as it does untrained.
Yeah, right. One of the big things with Dragon is that you often usually have to train it to your speaking pattern so it can do dictation based on your voice.
Right. So when you do lots and lots of different translations, it's not going to do 100%. But even if you get 50%, you're halfway there, and that's farther than you are now.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. I guess my concern at that point would be how much editing. Will it take longer because I have to search things out and edit them? But I guess I'll figure that out and let you guys know.
Right, let us know.
Yeah, please. It'd be interesting to know because, you know we've always been trying to find something better or consistent for folks because a lot of folks want to do this. I mean, lawyers would love to be able to do that. Quite often they go around with this dictation machine, and then their office personnel have to then interpret it. You know,
well, and
my wife is a medical transcriptionist who's been out of a job for quite a while because of Dragon and other dictation programs.
Well, I know a person who runs a legal dictation thing, and she actually has a program that will simultaneously record what you're saying, translate it to text, and in the same time period, she's doing whatever it is she does to type it all in, not using it's one of those dictation.
Oh yeah.
There. What? No, not a dictaphone.
It's
a dictation machine.
It coordinates all three of those via time codes.
Ooh.
So when you go to transcribe it for real, you can start with the text, listen to where the text went wrong, and check the transcript at the same time. And it's a really nice system, but it ain't cheap.
Mm.
If
you want quality?
She runs a company that does this for a living, right?
Yeah, so you got to spend
clearly,
the bucks.
Right, clearly it's worth it to her, but for the general public, it might not be. But yeah, unfortunately, Josh, that's the best we can tell you. I'm sorry.
Oh, interesting. Well, as I, try some iterations of it, I'll keep you guys in the loop.
Yeah, let us know. We'd love to know. Thanks.
Yep, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Our reporter on the spot, Josh, will, of course, be back with a certain amount of knowledge about Dragon Dictate in a little while, and we'll let him tell us what that's about, but that won't be today. At the moment, we're going to take a break. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and what that really means is that we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a second hour of Soundbites. You're only halfway through, so gird your loins or whatever it is you do to them, and we'll get you back here very shortly. As we take a break, for Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will be back in just a couple of minutes to bring you another hour of whatever it is we think we're doing here.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Jazz 90.1 appreciates your support through membership. But did you know you can support Jazz 90.1 in other ways as well? For example, by donating your old vehicle. When you donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1, we receive cash and you get the tax deduction. We even come pick it up. To find out more, call 966-5299. When the time comes to change vehicles, think of Jazz 90.1 and call 966-5299.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
You want insurance? I got insurance. I got so much insurance, I'll insure your insurance.
If only it were this easy to recognize insurance fraud. Unfortunately, you could be a victim and never see it coming. Stop, call, and confirm. Stop before signing paperwork, making a payment, or providing personal information. Call your state insurance department and confirm that the company or agent is licensed to sell insurance in your state. Visit insureyouonline.org today. That's insure, the letter U, online.org.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. You can help today. Support your local Red Cross.
Gentlemen, for that classy suit, come to Stan Suit Emporium. Custom suits from $29, designer labels, and that signature personal service you expect, but not from Stan himself. Stan passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Stan didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is station manager Rob Linton. If you're a local jazz musician, Jazz 90.1 wants to hear from you. You and your band could be featured as part of our 2010-2011 live studio concert series. We'll tell you how you could perform for local listeners on the radio as well as internet worldwide, and we'll also promote your concert for listeners and give you your very own copy of the concert. If you're interested in performing live jazz on the radio and internet, visit the Jazz 90.1 website at www.jazz901.org for more information on how to apply. The Rochester area has been home to great jazz musicians, and it still is. Let everybody hear how great you are, live on the radio from the studios of Jazz 90.1. Hurry, slots are filling up fast. For more information, including how to apply, visit jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And against all good judgment, you are here, and so are we,
yeah.
For the second hour of Sound Bites for this Saturday.
Too much free time for folks.
Clearly, you people need to get out more. Our next caller is Chris. Where are you calling from, Chris?
Calling from Gates.
Gates, New York, and what can we do for you?
One of the reasons I bought an iPad was because of its picture format. My question has to do with, is there a way to save an email picture from my emails to the iPod, to the iPad's picture?
Yes, you should be able to just tap and hold on that picture in your email, and there should be options to save it to your camera roll.
Yes, I see that now. Thank you very much.
See,
I didn't know that option.
Tap and hold, and a lot of people don't know that kind of stuff. And, of course, there's no manual. There's not even a little sheet that says, try tap and hold, try double tap, try whipping your fingers across it, try whatever, whatever. And they never give you any help at all with those things, and that's just kind of sad.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris. That's, of course, why whatchacallit makes David Pogue makes so much money with the missing manuals.
Missing manuals and all the other book series.
All right, as long as we're talking about Macintoshes, right at the moment, a Safari user visits a website. Boy, did I write this badly. Even if they've never been there before or entered any personal information, a malicious website can uncover their first name, last name, workplace, city, state, and email address. Safari 4 and 5, with a combined market browser share of 4%, which is about 83 million users, has a feature, preferences, autofill, autofill web forms, enabled by default. And essentially, the bad guys are hacking this autocomplete functionality. Fields are auto-filled using data from the user's personal record in the local operating system address book. Again, it's important to emphasize this feature works even though a user never entered these data on any website. Also, this behavior should not be confused with normal autocomplete data a web browser may remember after it's typed into a form. All a malicious website would have to do is surreptitiously extract address book card data from Safari is to dynamically create form text fields with specific names, even invisibly, and then simulate A to Z keystroke events using JavaScript. When the data are populated, those fields are auto-filled and can be accessed and sent to the attacker. The process takes seconds and represents a major breach in online privacy. This attack could be further leveraged in multi-stage attacks, including email spam, phishing, stalking, and even blackmail if a user is de-anonymized while visiting objectionable online material. Such attacks could be easily and cheaply distributed on a mass scale using an advertising network where likely no one would ever notice it because it's not exploit code designed to deliver a payload such as a rootkit. All you have to do is have filled out your personal information in Safari, in your Apple machine, right? Safari has access to that and will happily send it to anybody who requests it, even invisibly in the background.
Isn't it spatial?
Without your knowledge or permission. So our question to you, do you use Safari? Do you worry about your identity? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Sal did. Where are you calling from, Sal?
Fairport.
And what can we do for you?
Hey, on the user manual for your iPad, there is a PDF that you can download from Apple under manuals under support tab at apple.com. And drop that into your iTunes. You can actually call it right up on the iPad.
So that should be a book that comes preloaded in the iBookstore or something like that.
Right, and this is a, this is the problem.
Printed.
Okay, that's out there.
It's
who knew about
it? iBookstore too.
Yeah.
Right? Who knew about it? How do you find out these things? I mean, if you get an iPad, one of the things that should come up is, hey, want to know some cool stuff about your iPad? Click here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but almost every single Apple product has a user manual that you can download.
And how many people know that
they
and
don't
do
take
it?
The time.
That's my point.
They do if they've used Apple before.
Not necessarily.
Well, no.
One of the big things with the iPad is they are hitting a much bigger audience of non-Apple users.
And see, if you're going to be just part of the old boys club and the hell with everybody else, that's a real problem for Apple. If what they're saying is only the old folks know about this, and you new folks will have to find it as you go along.
If you go to iTunes, you'll see it. It's actually sometimes put right on the front page.
Maybe once in a great while.
It's the sort of thing
that should be pre-installed in the iPad. God knows there's enough crap pre-installed.
Well, because
already.
A lot of folks are brand new to it. I mean, they're literally.
I'm sorry. I get that it's there.
It's probably in the pamphlet that no one reads.
Right, and I appreciate that it's there, but the reality is it should be preloaded.
And we run into this both on the PC side and the Mac side.
It's not just Macs. It's everybody.
Yep. We tell folks, you know that little thing that it's called a manual. It's okay to break the plastic on it.
Yep. Assuming you get one.
Yeah, or the CD. The CD quite often has, some information there on it too. But not, like you say, a lot of folks don't know. It didn't come with a manual. No, quite often the manuals now are on a CD.
Right. And if it's preloaded, who looks for it?
Yep.
Nobody.
If it's preloaded and on the desktop.
Or it's on a little scrap of paper that says, download the manual here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would be so easy to download it, put it on the desktop, on the whatever the front screen is called on an iPad, and just have it there, and then you can move it around or throw it away if you want to.
Win-win.
But the point is, it's there.
Yeah.
And it would be a service to the user.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but that's simply true.
Yeah.
I know you
love Apple. You hate to hear anybody say anything bad about Apple.
No,
I think Apple makes
to clarify that it's there, available, so it's not as if it's never available or not available at all.
It's just that nobody knows about it.
I didn't
know about it.
It's on the front page of iTunes. In order to start up iPad, you have to load up iTunes, and most of the time, it's right there. Especially if it's.
Okay, you win. I've never seen it on iTunes. I look at iTunes all the time. But, okay, you win. It's there every time.
When your iPad is plugged in and you set up the iPad for the first time in one of those windows that no one ever reads and you skip forward, yeah. One of the neat things I heard on a podcast about the iPhone antenna issue is that Apple might have prevented a lot of this mess by putting a little piece of paper in the box that says, here's how you hold it.
Right.
Because other phones come with that same little piece of paper.
Right. Speaking of which, Steve Jobs may have calmed some of the AntennaGate ruckus with his spirited defense of the iPhone 4 last Friday, but he also stirred up a hornet's nest of response from other phone manufacturers, including RIM, Samsung, Motorola, Nokia, and HTC. In Jobs' press conference and on a new section of the Apple website entitled Smartphone Antenna Performance, three competing smartphones are singled out for having similar signal attenuation problems as the iPhone 4, the BlackBerry Bold 9700, HTC Droid Eris, and Samsung Omnia 2. The makers of these phones, shockingly, are not happy. Apple's attempt to draw RIM into Apple's self-made debacle is unacceptable. Apple's claims about RIM products appear to be deliberate attempts to distort the public's understanding of an antenna design issue and to deflect attention from Apple's difficult situation, wrote RIM co-CEOs Mike Lazaridis and Jim Balsillie. But that can't be the pronunciation. The reception problems are certainly not common among smartphones, HTC CFO Huimeng Cheng said, adding Apple apparently didn't give operators enough time to test the phone. Samsung VP of Mobile Communications Hwan Kim released a statement saying that his company hasn't received significant customer feedbacks on any signal reduction issues for the Omnia 2. Kim added that reception problems have not happened so far, and there is no room for such problems to happen in the future. Nokia and Motorola weren't specific targets of Jobs' all smartphone have problems argument, but they chimed in anyway. Nokia, the world's largest mobile phone manufacturer, issued a statement that took a dig at Apple's focus on style. As you would expect from a company focused on connecting people, we prioritize antenna performance over physical design if they are ever in conflict. Motorola's co-CEO Sanjay Jha said that his company's testing showed that the iPhone 4 suffered from greater attenuation than comparable phones when held. Of all the responding phone companies, however, RIM's response was the most heated. Apple clearly made certain design decisions, Rose Lazaridis, Dr. Lazardo, and I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce that name again, and it should take responsibility for these decisions rather than try to draw RIM and others into a situation that relates specifically to Apple. So, our question to you, does your cell phone drop calls when you hold it naturally? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. I've tried to get my my Motorola Droid to drop signal, and no matter how, and I'm not just looking at the bars. What I do is I go in and look at the actual decibel rate.
Yep.
Right, and sometimes it'll drop maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4 from like, you know, -50 to -60.
And you have to know where the antenna is the big trick.
I told you, I cradled it under my desk in my office.
It goes back to what
an
you
ugly
said.
Sight.
Yeah, it was my phone. I left my phone in the car because it doesn't work in here anyway. It goes back to years ago when we had antenna that retracted.
Right.
Well, first they didn't retract, so people don't want to see that external antenna. So now the antenna is inside the body of the phone somewhere, but it has to have access to the outside world to be able to see the signal.
But I can't figure out how to find the bad part on my phone.
Well, that's the problem. Getting used to this phone, I'm not having problems dropping the signal. I'm doing butt dialing. Clorinda and my brother, I both butt dialed yesterday, and it's like, what do you want?
Huh? My favorite is still if one of my minions has an iPhone 4, and if he and I get into the elevator at the same time talking on the phone, he loses his signal. And I'm just talking away, no signal attenuation of any sort, even in the elevator.
Well, what I'm trying to think to do is, you know, in case I butt dial,
yeah,
have like a baby's butt that it can send the message out. This is courtesy of Day's butt dialing.
Exactly.
And have it out there.
Well, and that's the nice thing about this phone. The one thing I don't like about touch phones, of course, is that you can very easily do something wrong. But once you turn off the screen.
Yeah.
Which is just a click.
Yeah,
of a little
that's
button.
What I forgot to do like last night.
Right, right, right.
I sat there, forgot to put it because you can lock it.
Right.
And I forgot to lock it. And
for the longest time, I had the Listen application set right where my thumb goes when I put it in the belt pouch.
Mm-hmm.
So every once in a while, I would put it in the belt pouch and be walking along. Suddenly, I'm hearing music or voices, and I think, "What the?"
That's what I was getting yesterday. Hello, hello.
Yeah.
Where's it? I'm in the car. He's like, hello? Hello?
Kent, this is Jesus.
Sorry. If you don't know the movie, that made no sense to you. But if you know the movie.
Wonderful movie.
Great yes. movie. Real genius. It's a great, great film.
Stop touching yourself.
You are Jesus.
I like when they.
It's just a great movie.
They take his Volkswagen apart and reassemble it in his dorm room.
Oh. That's a great film. That's a great film. All right, that's
well, and going back to the iPhone, the antenna issue. Apple's got this video on their webpage. They've spent $100 million on an antenna design and testing lab, and it didn't catch.
Clearly, didn't do.
They're still not working.
The theory is that AT&T put up a really big tower right next to Apple's campus.
Well, like I said, I believe that it's only one of the two frequencies it uses.
Yeah.
And that if you're testing the other frequency, you don't. Because I have a friend who spends some time on the East Coast and some time on the West Coast. And she does not have. She can't make it fail here.
Mm-hmm.
And it fails all the time there. So my
only $100 million, and they have rubber bands holding the iPhone to the holder.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, those are government issue rubber bands. They're $1,000 a piece. But she doesn't have the problem here, and she has a problem all the time there. And I'm sure that it's got to be something to do with the antennas.
Yeah.
She's using one frequency here and one frequency there. It's the only thing I can think of that makes sense at that.
Could be. I mean, can't be disproved yet.
Right. So who knows? Who knows?
Like I say, they're almost like good politicians in their answers. You know, they're just, you know, this.
It's not our fault.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Everybody's doing it.
I did not have relations with that cell phone.
Ooh.
It was just a quickie. That's not a relation, is it?
That's exactly. Oh. So, at any rate, we look forward to your emails. SteveRay@jazz901.org.
That's Steve@jazz901.
Steve at jazz901.org.
He'd love to hear from you.
He can't wait. He is looking forward to your emails, ladies and gentlemen.
Spam them now.
Feel free to send them directly to him.
And any other further comments to Rob.
Right. My favorite, though, was Ballmer, who said, the iPhone 4 is clearly Apple's Vista.
Ooh.
Yeah, no kidding.
After they canceled the kin in, what,
Zing.
6 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the two guys that actually bought a kin? Now what?
Exactly. Well, what made the kin hot was not the hardware, but the software on the PC, that timeline thing, whatever that was called.
And the social graph.
We're definitely going to see that come back. But as for the kin itself, it was not their best product ever.
Well, they're still...
Their best product, really, ever, was the CPM board for the Apple II.
Well, Windows is supposed to be coming out with a phone, too.
Already get the Windows 7... Well, what they have is the Windows
A new
CE
one to
phone, right.
Compete
the Windows
with
7
the,
will be out. Yeah.
What, that's this fall, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
This September? Jump in there and, you know, rule that much more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if it's a better product, then they deserve...
From Microsoft, wash your mouth.
Yeah, well, still, if in fact it is what it is, then... If it becomes a better product, then they deserve the marketplace. But, we haven't seen it yet, and we'll see what happens. Personally, I love my Android-based phone. I'm looking forward to having an Android-based tablet. And I'll even look forward to an Android-based operating system for my netbook if there is one. At least I'll be happy to try it. Going to take a break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave, Nick, Steve, you. It's member-supported. Jazz 90.1. We're Soundbites.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm Steve Wozniak, and you're listening to Soundbites.
There's a monster under my bed.
For a child with asthma, monsters are everywhere.
There's a monster in my bathtub.
Something as innocent as a teddy bear or a bath toy could trigger their next asthma attack. Here are ways to help. Freezing stuffed animals to kill dust mites. Drying bath toys to prevent mold. Learn how to end your child's asthma attacks at noattacks.org or call 866-NO-ATTACKS because their next breath is in your hands. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chile Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center. Using the Brudenco method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young and the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Hi, I'm Jazz 90.1 meteorologist Josh Nichols. As Jazz 90.1 takes jazz further, it's my hope that I can take the forecast further by providing you with the weather information you need to stay alert, informed, and ahead of the elements. Morning, noon, or night, from hilltop to lakeshore, I track the weather every step of the way and will bring you a forecast that's reliable and the only one of its kind in the area that's certified by the American Meteorological Society with its highest seal of approval. So, whether you're singing in the rain or on the sunny side of the street, no matter what number Mother Nature has in mind for our area, you can count on getting the latest weather forecast each weekday to help plan out your day, right here on Jazz 90.1, taking jazz further.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the annual Park Avenue Summer Arts Festival. The festival takes place this year on August 7th and 8th with over 300 artists, food, live entertainment, and kid-friendly activities. As a reminder, no pets, bikes, or drinking are allowed at the festival. There's plenty of parking behind Gleason Works on University and Monroe Square on Monroe Avenue with shuttles to and from the festival. For more information on this year's Park Ave Festival, you may visit www.rochesterevents.com. Jazz 90.1 will again be at the Park Ave Festival all weekend on the corner of Park Avenue and Meg Street.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, it's that time once again. That's right, kiddies. Get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, and I don't think that's going to be a problem this week, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay, Bozo. We were talking about this topic before, just briefly, explaining, you know, that when you drop off your computer, you go into the queue.
And it's hard to see that queue because they're not all standing.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, hello. And you call in and you sit there and bitch because it's only been, 4 days, two of them which were a Saturday and Sunday. And you're so fed up, you come in and you say, well, I'm going to take it somewhere else. And we gladly say, okay, fine, do that. But then you got the GD nerve to come back in after finding out that you were going to take it somewhere else, because we told you, it's only going to be another day and we'll have it on the bench for you. But that wasn't good enough. No, you had to go look elsewhere. You got the nerve to come back the following day and say, well, I still have my same spot in line? No!
You left.
No! Hello? You got out of line. It's just like if you go stand in the bank or anything else. You step out of line because you don't want to wait. You come back in. You think they're going to let you up to the front because that's where you should be? You start at the back, Jack.
That's how it works.
So he was getting all ticked off because I said, no, you go back to the back. But I was here before. But you left. What part don't folks get?
We actually started.
Hello? Do I have something written on my back or something?
We actually started having a triple service fee. If you want to jump ahead of line, it's triple the rate.
Yeah.
Now and then, someone will take us up on it. But
emergency service.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get ahead of the line, but you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, everybody. Well, the computer is so important to me.
I can't live without it.
We understand that.
It's broken. You are living without it.
Yeah. Hello. But right. So is everybody else. What,
yep. Everyone else feels about their computer the same way as you.
Tell
do.
You what, you call these other folks ahead of you, and if they say it's okay to go in front of them, I'll go ahead and do it. But you got to first get me the approval of all those other folks. But when you come in, and again, hello, I take the weekends off. I'm sorry, I'm selfish.
Son of a gun, you.
Thank you. And, as it is, the 5 days a week and 40-plus hours that we put in at the shop between Dan and I, hello, we like to have our weekends. And I don't even get the full weekend off, just like you guys. I mean, we're here on a Saturday doing another 2 hours of asking questions. And then Sunday is my other day that I just like to chill, do other things around the house. And get some other stuff and have a life.
I like Dennis's hours that he talked about last week, 24/7. 24 hours a week, 7 months a year.
Yeah, nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, kiddies, that's it. Put your empty cocoa mugs in the sink. Get off your footy jammies. We're going to give Uncle Dave a shot. Put him to sleep for another week.
Uncle Rob.
Uncle Rob is saying you were very loud.
I kind of blew the level.
Yeah, I bet you did.
But I don't do it that often.
Okay, if you say so. Happy to say that.
I don't think I do. No, not that I noticed, but...
No, of course you don't. We all know that.
Thank you.
All right, here it is. The popular social networking site known as Facebook has achieved yet another significant milestone. 500 million members. That's half a billion people who have no online security. And obviously, please, Mark Zuckerberg celebrated the occasion by launching a new application dubbed Stories, which allow users to share their Facebook-related tales and read hundreds of others. Our mission is to help make the world more open and connected. Stories are examples of that mission and are both humbling and inspiring, Zuckerberg wrote in a blog post commemorating the momentous event. I could have never imagined all the ways people would use Facebook when we were getting started 6 years ago. That's half a billion people. Half a billion people in 6 years. So what's next for Facebook? Will the site be able to claim the unimaginable figure of 1 billion users in the next few years? Well, Bob Metcalf, co-inventor of Ethernet and founder of 3Com, said that Facebook's combined success could result in a new web order that may eventually threaten Google. Do you think it's easier for Google to add social or Facebook to add search? My answer is that it's easier for Facebook to do search. I'm very optimistic about Facebook. So, Google, look out, said Metcalf. Of course, this is also the man who predicted the internet would implode in the 90s. How much time do you spend on Facebook every day? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And yes, that includes Mafia Wars and Farmville. Sorry, I used the F word on the air. Farmville, I'll use it again. Farmville! Oh, Farmville! And all the other things, whatever those other things are. I do get on Facebook occasionally. I do get on Twitter occasionally, but they don't rule my life. I don't spend my day on them, and I certainly don't do Farmville.
But your family does.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. My wife has begun pestering me.
She hasn't pulled
can
you?
Can I log in as you and run a farm? No. No, first I don't give people any of my, although it is a unique password, I don't use multiple, the same password, particularly on a completely unsecure site like Facebook. God knows I'm not going to use the same password I use anywhere else. Even so, I don't let her use my machine for Facebook. Sorry, it's just the way I am. I don't need a million people suddenly being my friends and emailing me. I don't need Zynga selling all my information to anybody or even using it themselves. I just don't need it, and I don't want it, and I'm not going to have it, and I don't do Farmville or Mafia Wars or any of those things. You know, God bless you if you do. Everybody's got to have a hobby. Mine is not doing Facebook. In fact, I'm practicing my hobby right now. I'm not doing Facebook. I practice my hobby way more than you do, whatever your hobby is. I clearly practice mine way more than you do. Our next caller is Bert. Where are you calling from, Bert?
Palmyra.
Palmyra, and what can we do for you?
Oh, I was just answering your Facebook question.
Yeah.
Zero time.
There you go.
For a good reason. Had an account, was real cute when I first started using it and everything with the kids and family and stuff, but the account got hacked.
Yep.
And sent a phishing scam to everyone on my account, and one of my daughter's poor friends at college got suckered by the scam.
Yep.
Believed that I was in London in trouble and needed $500 immediately.
Yeah.
Only sent it. Only 500? It's usually thousands.
Yeah, they were going small, but with a lot of people.
Yep, and it's so sad. What are you going to do? I mean, God love them. They were being nice. They were being kind. They were being, you know, good Christian kids, and what do? They got
mm-hmm.
fish
taken.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So yep. Enough great show, you guys. Good talking to you again.
Thanks, Bert. Always a pleasure.
Take.
It's that's a tough problem. That's a really tough problem, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We see it a lot. There is no security on Facebook. Don't even pretend there is.
Mm-mm.
Zuckerberg himself has said there's no security, and he's the guy who runs it. If anybody ought to know, it's him.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, a number of folks have, when I open up my Firefox, I've got close to 19 tabs that open up for various things. And I've had a couple folks, well, I saw you were on.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but you got to understand. Yeah, I've got Facebook, and it's for sound bites and that type of stuff to have a visual presence there. But I do not use it a lot. It's there, and it might say I'm on, but don't leave me messages, because if I happen to, by chance, hit that, all of a sudden I see all these windows open down at the bottom because folks were trying to send me messages. Where are you? You know, it said you're on. Yeah, but I don't always go there.
Right.
Sorry. I got a life.
This is why I've started giving out my Google Voice number instead of my any other number,
mm-hmm.
because now it's up to me, you know?
Good point. Yeah.
And that's one of the things I really like about Google Voice. I've also begun to put people into categories. You know, there's family, friends, coworkers, others. So, you know, I can set them up into groups. Each of those groups gets a different message, and I can decide to forward it immediately. Of course, it's family. I forward it immediately to my cell phone. If it's work, I forward it to my work phone.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something else, whatever. But I can set those up and do those things, and that's the thing I love about Google Voice.
Well, the one thing my brother and nephew and his wife have gotten hooked up into is a Skype.
Yep.
Which is very handy right now. Matter of fact, they've got the camera and that set up because my nephew is now serving his fourth tour. He's over in Afghanistan, just got over there about 3 weeks ago, and they got it set up as the outpost that he's at, you know, that busy, thank God. And so now he can Skype back and forth with his wife, and they've got the camera. So it's like, you know, it helps. I mean, that really helps for a lot of the service folks. You know, it keeps them in touch with their families that can be, you know, literally thousands and thousands of miles away. All of a sudden they can actually see them, you know, and I think it helps. And that it's still free.
It's the kind of thing that Apple is trying to take over with what they call FaceTime. On the new iPhone 4, the problem with that, of course, is FaceTime takes your data.
Mm-hmm.
And you only get a small... It doesn't?
It only works on Wi-Fi. It does not work on 3G.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right.
Yet, maybe.
Why? Why would I ever use... Well, Verizon's going to go to a tiered thing, too. And then, you know, I'm going to have to find another carrier. I'm sorry. It's just... The reality is that I use data a lot, and I'm not going to pay more to change my lifestyle. If you're going to give me a phone that does data, then give me a data plan that lets me use the phone you gave me. Otherwise, I'll do what you did and go back to nothing.
Yeah.
I don't care. I have no problem doing that.
Well, like I say, if it goes much, you know, if it were to go more.
Right.
Like I say, I don't. Me personally, the only reason I like the phone is to be able to text. And I like to be able to, you know, use it as a phone. I work on a computer 8 to 10 hours a day.
Right.
If I need my email, it's there. I don't want it following me. I'm sorry. My life is not dependent on emails. You know, it's usually a client with another question. I mean, I'll deal with it when I get home because I'm on it so much.
Right.
But where with you, I mean, it's work. And you got to have it. Me, no, I don't. And, you know, the texting, like I say, I love. And just a simple phone.
But I get unlimited for whatever it is, $30 a month, whatever it is. And mm-hmm. that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a simple guy. I like simple things. And I really am not going to pay more.
Yeah.
Now, what would be lovely is if I could say, I'll take whatever your tiered data plan is up to $30 a month, and then you just don't give me any more. But, of course, they won't do that. They'll just keep charging.
Yeah. But, yeah, third world countries, just like the internet, is cheaper.
We're the third world country when it comes to the internet.
Oh.
Every place else on earth has way faster access, way cheaper access, and none of this nonsense about tiering.
Yeah.
And we're the ones who are in the third world, and apparently nobody cares. America certainly doesn't care.
Evidently.
Our government doesn't care. They've watered down the Net Neutrality Act and the broadband initiative to the point where you might as well not even bother with it. Because, you know, the choice is... Who are you going to work for? The constituents who voted you in or the lobbyists who pay you money? So we lose. That's the way it works.
Get hosed either way.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's too bad, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. You know, just like trying to get Fios in here. I know they're still trying to get it up in here in Rochester. Because, I mean, oh, Syracuse and Buffalo have it.
And it doesn't have to be Verizon brand Fios. The Frontier has fiber around here. They could offer
anybody
it.
Anybody could do it. It's just a matter of actually doing it. And then offering it at a reasonable rate.
But there it's the lobbyist.
Well, I'll tell you what. And we saw that on Stop the Cap.
Yep.
Some town got together and put up their own wireless, municipal wireless, and got sued. Because they were offering better service cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the American way? You sue. And I'll tell you what, though. If somebody did that here, if somebody put up a decent wireless signal, fast, efficient, ubiquitous, and cheap, they'd own the market. They'd own it.
True.
Current rumors are July 29th, which is this week, is when Verizon's unlimited data will stop being unlimited.
Right. My hope is that we're grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually the way it is.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? But the problem is, of course, I say all over and over again, we're not the customer.
But is that on the, the $30 plan that they're talking about?
I don't know. We're not, Steve will read that and find out.
Yeah, this is all AT&T stuff.
Well, the reality is that we're not the customer.
True.
The shareholder is the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they give the shareholder better benefit is by raping the people who are actually paying for the service.
Oh, yeah.
So I get that, you know, that I get that. It's too bad.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you say, hopefully, you know, they can vote by, you know, moving services. And I think
it's coming at a terrible time because
the economy still
stinks. Well, that too, but smarter and smarter smartphones are coming out and people are doing more and more data. You're watching video. There were some statistics about the World Cup and how many trillions of bytes of data people were watching World Cup games on their cell phones, especially here in America because it was, you know, the time zones were so far off that, you know, these data plans are now going to be so much more important because we're doing so much more data on the phone.
Right. Right. And that's really kind of the point. They're giving us, I think, far too much stuff and realizing that we have to pay for it, you know, because they're not willing to pay for it. They're willing to give it to us, but they're not willing to pay for it. And I don't know. It's whatever. But I think that, you know, somebody on the Archandra on the IRC chat was saying 100 megabits symmetrical in South Korea for $20, the equivalent in won per month, you know? Well, what the heck? All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave, Steve, me, you, everybody. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz, 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1, streaming online worldwide at jazz901.org.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set. Friends, we get dozens of requests on The Smart Set, but we come back each week anyway, broadcasting live from Rochester's hottest night spots, the Cowtail Room, the Foaming Bulldog, the Bar None Saloon, the Blue Buddha Lounge, anywhere the best bands in the biz are belting out the tunes Dance Mad Bob's Love. And what bands? The Royal Crown Review, Lee Presson and the Nails, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Lav A. Smith and a Red Hot Skillet Liquors, and of course, His Highness of Heidi Ho, Rochester Zone, Cab Galloway. Experience it all in the relative safety and comfort of your own home every Saturday night from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
You want insurance? I got insurance. I got so much insurance, I'll insure your insurance.
If only it were this easy to recognize insurance fraud. Unfortunately, you could be a victim and never see it coming. Stop. Call and confirm. Stop before signing paperwork, making a payment, or providing personal information. Call your state insurance department and confirm that the company or agent is licensed to sell insurance in your state. Visit InsureUOnline.org today. That's Insure, the letter U, online.org.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno inviting you to join me every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 for my new show, Sinatra and Company.
I have got you under my skin.
I'll feature the music of Frank Sinatra as well as those with whom Frank worked and played. Artists like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Count Basie, Rosemary Clooney, and many more. So join in the fun with Sinatra and Company every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 right here on Jazz 90.1.
I would sacrifice anything.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m. right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Hey, here, this is such a cool story. It's never going to happen, but it's such a cool story. The government of India has unveiled a prototype of a touchscreen tablet PC, which expects to sell for $35. That's right, you heard me, $35. Mm-hmm. As more companies migrate server applications and data storage to the cloud, a simple web-enabled platform such as this will replace the bloated desktop and laptop architectures in use today. The Indian prototype is impressive, especially at a $35 price point. The device runs on a variant of Linux. It has no internal storage, but it is capable of storing data on a memory card. It has a built-in word processor, video conferencing capabilities, and most importantly, for a cloud-based workforce, a web browser. Oh, and it can also run on solar power.
Ooh.
At $35, the Indian tablet is virtually disposable, far exceeding the $100 laptop, which actually cost $200, developed at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and used in the nonprofit One Laptop Per Child program. In fact, in many ways, the $35 tablet also makes the $500 iPad seem significantly overpriced. India is courting manufacturers to find a partner to mass produce the cheap tablet PC and hopes that the economy of scale will allow it to push the price down to $10. A tablet PC for the cost of a couple of Starbucks drinks, or, of course, more than 8.5 large coffees at the Flower City Coffee Company at the Rochester Public Market. It is intended for use by students or low-income families and could be, but everybody's going to buy one, could be rolled out to some educational institutions as early as next year. Not much has been revealed about the actual hardware specs. We don't know what the processor is, how much RAM is in the tablet. We don't know the resolution, the exact size of the screen, although it appears to be a tad smaller than an iPad in pictures. The iPad has been a tremendous success, selling over 3 million tablets in only 80 days. Businesses have adopted the iPad, though, that have adopted the iPad might be very interested in a touchscreen web-enabled tablet that can enable mobile workers to access cloud-based applications and data for less than 10% of the cost of the iPad. In a cloud-based infrastructure, the device used to connect to and access information does not need the bells and whistles common to desktops and laptops. The tablet becomes a commodity, consuming less power and delivering significant cost savings. What businesses need is a simple, cheap device that uses a secure cloud connection to keep data where it belongs and keep workers up and working without the downtime of expensive, failure-prone hardware. Our question to you, and it's a silly question, would you buy a $10 tablet? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
Well, look at what's that little Indian car that costs
the Tata.
$50?
The Tata. Tata Motors is the name of the company. They also have a car that runs on compressed air.
$2,500 car, the Tata Nano.
The Tata Nano. And they have a car that runs on compressed air. Is that amazing or what?
How much? Well, yeah, and then, they got to, how much energy does it take to compress the air?
I don't know anything about that. All I know is it's got two big tanks in the car. And
now, if they...
Of course, if it's Mythbusters, you can knock the cap off and shoot it out the back and make a rocket out of the thing, and that would be okay, too.
Then it would go fast.
If they could make one powered by methane...
Or methane, if you're American, then you could drive without ever having to stop for anything except a Taco Bell once in a while. And as Chris Reich, friend of the show, Chris Reich says, Tata Motors now owns Jaguar.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
They own Jaguar.
Ford sold Jaguar,
and the Brits call Jaguar. And since it's their company, they ought to be allowed to do whatever
they
like.
Of course, they got to make it sound so formal.
Right. Well, that's how they pronounce Jaguar.
There's a U in it.
Aluminium has too many vowels.
and it blows their speech therapy.
Yeah.
2008, they bought it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tata Motors in India.
Jaguar Land Rover.
Owns the Jaguar Tata. Motors company. Yeah. Yeah. At any rate, I'd buy this tablet. Even at $35, it's an impulse buy. If it lasts me 6 months, I've gotten my money's worth out of the thing.
Well, it's just like we were saying for the netbooks. You know, they're under 200. Under $300, you can get a netbook now that does some, like yours there. That if you lost it or something else, oh well, you're only out a couple $100.
Right.
Things, you know.
But you have to remember, for $200, you're not going to get the performance. The bang for the buck you're going to get out of a bigger machine. You just have to be aware of that. I get people all the time saying, you know, should I buy a netbook? Well, what are you going to do with it? Oh, email, play games. What kind of games? Oh, you know, World of Warcraft? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
I'm going to do Second Life? No.
Like anything else. It's got its limitations.
Right. If really all you're going to do is email, maybe read a book on it or, you know, surf the web to regular websites and read news and things like that. Yes, yes, a netbook is great for you.
Mm-hmm.
Much else, no. And then when you're done with that, no again.
Yep.
It's just not gonna happen.
Just a fact of life. I mean, you know, hello. But folks get so upset. I mean, hello. Think just 15 years ago, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still. You know, we've come so far in such a short distance, and again, it's, you know, the instant gratification. It's not what you've done for me, in a long time. It's what have you done for me lately, and, like, that's the past 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Anything done last week, well, that was last week. Now is now.
Right, right. Well, for example, right now I've got an IRC chat open, my Twitter account open, and half a dozen tabs in Chrome open, and unless I'm actually doing something, it's idling pretty good. So that's great. But if I were to try to go in and watch a Flash movie or something like that, and I've got 2 gig of RAM in this thing, and I'm running Linux, which means, or of course, as Linus Torvalds pronounced it, Linux. If I'm running Linux on this thing, it's certainly running much faster than Windows ran on this thing. And yes, I did all the benchmarks. I put Windows 95 on it. I put Windows XP on it. I put Windows 7 on it. I ran a whole bunch of benchmarks. Did the same thing with Linux. And believe me when I tell you, Linux runs on this thing at least way faster. Way, way faster. Way, way faster. So, but you got to know what you're doing and how you're going to do it, mm-hmm. and what it is you're going to do on it.
Yeah.
As to whether or not this is a useful commodity item for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all within, and you got to do your homework. That's what it boils down to. Just do your simple homework.
Right.
You know, if that's going to fit your needs, then fine.
Now, my wife has discovered she can do Facebook. She can do
Farmville
on this, as long as she's not running a lot of other stuff.
Now, does that mean we might not see this one here?
Well, during the week, it lives in the kitchen. And then, since she's at market on Saturday, yeah. I'm allowed to take it to my show.
No, wait, time out. Do they have wireless at the market?
No, they don't, and I've looked.
Do they have it yet?
Yet. See, now there's the deal. No, she works at market. She doesn't have time to do Farmville. Otherwise, she'd just
stay
home.
That's
her story. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now see, if people had wireless... ubiquitous wireless, fast wireless, you know, that 100 megabit wireless or mm-hmm. you know, even 11 megabit wireless all over the place. Think of what could be done at the public market. There's a company whose name I can't recall right now.
Well, there is Citywide. Around there, you can get the Citywide.
Well, Frontier Citywide, right. But you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but Frontier customer.
Ironically, yeah. It's listed as free for the first 5 minutes, so you can log in with your account information.
Right, it takes that long to do that.
Yeah.
So, yes, if you're a Frontier customer, you can log in for free. If you've got the same.
You have to pay extra. Yeah, you have to be a Frontier customer and pay extra.
Yeah, it's an extra, what is it, four?
30 bucks a month.
Oh, is it 30 bucks a month?
Yeah.
See, and that's not worth it to me because I'm not outside mm-hmm. of, no. you know, I'm outside $5 worth or $10 worth, certainly not 30.
That's why I keep going around with the iTouch.
Right.
I carry that around with me, and I find free networking, you know, like if I'm over in Park Ave area, there's so many places you can get into. Just like you say, we've said before, you can go to, say, like a place like Camille's or anything else, sit there, buy a cup of coffee or whatever, and get into their services and use it for free.
Yep. That's one of the things, as I've looked at electronic readers, it's one of the things I like about the Barnes & Noble Nook,
which is that I can
sit in Barnes & Noble and read any book they have for free while I'm in Barnes & Noble.
You know how you
see people all the time, they buy a cup of coffee, they go grab a book off the shelf, and they sit and read for 4 hours?
Yes.
I can do that on the Nook.
Well, again, it's only smart marketing. You know, they get you in there and you get into the book. It's like, well, maybe, I'll purchase this one.
And
go ahead and grab it. And then, you know, it's a win-win for them.
Right. So, yeah, it's who knows? Oh, and for those of you who have not noticed so far, a picture may be worth 1,000 words, but you don't want to have to type in all 1,000 in order to find the right image. Google has introduced a number of additions and updates to its search engine that improve its ability to search and browse images from around the web. As outlined in a post on the official Google blog, the revamp, which is being rolled out across all of Google's markets, affects both the visual features and functional aspects of the service. Google Image Search was first launched in 2001 and now indexes over 10 billion images. Among the new features are an improved results screen. For example, an image search now brings up results that are laid out in a dense tile configuration with no distracting text, to maximize the number of pictures that are shown in a single page. If you roll your mouse over one, it actually gets bigger so you can see it better. In addition, users can move from page to page instantly without having to wait for the browser to refresh the entire results screen. Just keep scrolling down. Google will load them as necessary. You hit the load button and they come right up. In the functionality department, the new image search is capable of better refining search based on context. Thus, it is now possible to look for pictures that contain flowers of a specific color or animals of a particular subspecies. Additional information about a particular result is also shown in a panel that appears when the mouse hovers on top of it, displaying details like the website on which the image is hosted. Google's also made it easier to navigate the results via the keyboard with the support for page up and page down keys. Finally, the search giant has announced the launch of a new category of contextual ads, imaginatively called image search ads, that appear alongside image search results and can feature a thumbnail image along with the ad text. I'm telling you, Google really is stepping up their game. As time goes on, they're doing more and more to try to get more and more revenue for themselves and to better fend off the other people coming around.
I mean, even Microsoft's Bing, you know, again, there they are trying to come in and be the big boy on blocks, and it just ain't happening.
Many times I try to use Bing, and it doesn't provide me with the results I want.
I like Chrome.
I love Chrome.
Chrome, though, I wish...
Well, Chrome is a web browser, and Bing is a search engine.
But I really
do like it. Anyway, I just want to say that I will be getting my Roku box this week, and hopefully I'll get... Hopefully I'll get time to set it up. I'm not going to promise that.
It'd be fun to...
The problem is time. But
what
it,
you think
if
of
you
it.
Go to Roku.com and you look at the channel store, you can see all the channels that you get and all the cool free ones... as well as the ones you have to pay for. I'm just really, really impressed. It's just very cool. Of course, if you're a fan of sports, you pay extra for those things, but you can get just everything that there is, and it's pretty cool. You can also get Flickr and Facebook photos that just stream by on your machine. I think you'd have to be quite the little voyeur to get off on those, but whatever works for you. We're done for another week. You've wasted 2 hours of your life listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, and this week it seemed longer than others. Soundbites. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to us for 2 solid hours right here on the great, great member supported Jazz 90.1. And don't forget, we are member supported. So thank you to all our members. We will see you right back here next week, again, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.